Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and the establishment already has their eye on him. Pharisees travel with the crowd that follows him to watch, to report. They're coming from Jericho, some 20 miles away from Jerusalem, and it's a climb. Jericho is the lowest place on earth, 800 feet below sea level. And by the time they get to Jerusalem, they'll be 2,700 feet above sea level. And as you climb, you go through Bethphage and Bethany. And as you get to Bethphage and Bethany, you can see Jerusalem off in the distance. And just past Bethphage and Bethany, as you come to the Mount of Olives, the dry, dusty desert gives way to lush, green growth. N.T. Wright says of this journey, "Even when you drive rather than walk from Jericho to the top of the Mount of Olives, the sense of relief and excitement when you reach the summit is intense. At last you stop climbing. You crest the summit, and there before you, glistening in the sun, is the holy city, Jerusalem itself. On its own slightly smaller hill, across a narrow but deep valley." Jesus, as they're coming toward Bethany and Bethphage, sends the disciples on ahead of him to get a colt, a donkey that had never been ridden before. And he probably had made arrangements for that earlier, maybe the last time he was in Bethany. It was like home to him. That's where Mary and Martha, the sisters of his good friend Lazarus, lived. And on the back of the colt, as the crowd lined the path with their cloaks, Jesus came to the summit. He came to the height of the Mount of Olives and looked down across the valley at Jerusalem, and the excitement was palpable. Zechariah had prophesied, and the disciples knew the prophecy. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, riding, righteous and victorious, lowly on the back of a donkey." On a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah said, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. He will rule, and his rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." And there he is. There he is at the summit. And the crowd around Jesus and the disciples and the followers, they knew the prophecy and they started rejoicing, praising God as they sang the song that we have recorded as Psalm 118 that Chris read this morning. It was the traditional hymn that the Passover pilgrims sang as they approached Jerusalem. Every year they sang this song as they went toward Jerusalem for the Passover. It was the song of greeting. But as they came to that last verse this day, someone in the crowd changed the words. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Someone in that crowd changed the words. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," because they saw him on the back of that donkey and they knew the prophecy. And someone in the crowd took the next words and acted on them. "Bind the boughs of the festal procession with branches." And they started breaking off palm fronds to wave as they sang. And they repeated the last verse, Hosanna, save us, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were singing and dancing and waving palm branches. And they aren't alone on the road. It's Passover. The roads are packed, full of pilgrims coming in to Jerusalem. Many are singing the same hymn, but they haven't changed the words yet. And so they hear it, and it begins to spread through the crowd. They're drawing attention. They're worshiping. They're praising. And they are, well, they're too loud. They're too loud. And the Pharisees in the crowd warned Jesus, Rabbi, order your disciples to stop. It's too much. It's gotten out of control. And Jesus replies, it's not stoppable. I tell you, if I told them to be quiet, if they were silent, the rocks would cry out. William Barclay says of this scene, it was an act of glorious defiance and of superlative courage. By this time, there was a price on Jesus' head. It would have been natural that if he was going into Jerusalem at all, he should have slipped in unseen through the back door, hidden in some secret place in the back streets. But he entered in such a way as to focus the whole limelight on himself and to occupy the center stage. It is breathtaking to think that with a price on his head, an outlaw deliberately riding into a city in such a way that every eye was fixed upon him. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in this moment. Reverend Crumlish of the Church of Scotland beautifully wrote, those hosannas were not simply innocent cries of palm branch waving children. Those hosannas were war cries of adults tired of the oppression of the occupying force of Rome. Those hosannas were hopeful cries of a nation seeking liberation. Those hosannas we have sanitized over the years rang out in clear insurrection, sealing the fate of the one who rode on the back of that donkey. So let us wrest them from the lips of children and allow them to ring in our own ears and spew from our mouths as a call to action. A call to justice, a call to love. Hosanna, save us. What would have happened if the crowd had been silent? The rocks would have cried out. The whole creation groans at the birthing of this new kingdom, and yet all too often we all fall silent. After all, I'm only one person, right? David Platt, in his book, A Radical Idea, Unleashing the People of God for the Purpose of God, writes, as long as individual Christians journey alone, no matter how radical they are, the effect will be minimal. But as men and women who are surrendered to the person of Christ join together in churches that are committed to the purpose of Christ, then nothing, nothing can stop the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Even the rocks cry out in worship to declare that the time had come when God would save his people. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. What would their story be, those rocks? One day, this little boy named David picked me up, and he put me in a slingshot. And he swung me around. I'm just a little rock, just a tiny little rock. But God used me to slay the Philistine giant. One little boy with God's help could slay the giant. Well, one day, a prophet named Elijah picked me up and put me as part of his altar. I'm just a little rock. And was I ever wet by the end of it? But then God lit the fire. Even the wet couldn't stop the power of the one true God. Now, I'm a witness to this Jesus. One day, a man held me in his hand, ready to stone a woman. And Jesus listened to them, and the whole time they talked, he was writing in the sand. And then he straightened up and said, "Let any one of you who is without sin cast the first stone." I was released, and I fell to the ground. Even the power of fear and the love of power couldn't stop the forgiveness and the love of the Son of God. Well, I heard the words of their song. They sang that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Even me, without a voice, even me, I cry out in praise to God, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna." Even the rocks cry out with their story. So what is your story? When have you seen God help slay a giant? When have you seen God show his power, that he is the one true God? Or overcome fear or the love of power with his forgiveness and his love? Do you know your story? Because you have one to tell. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and you and I are being hewn to form the walls of the temple. Let us cry out in praise to God. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Amen.